Amen. Yes, sir. It's a zoo out there, isn't it, brother? No, it's not good. You're exactly right. Amen. Good testimony. All right. I'm going to pray. We're going to get started unless somebody else has a good word. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are thankful. Thankful that our children can be a part of church and in some cases Christian education at home or at school here. Thankful, Lord, that there's Sunday school and youth activities, and thankful for dads who've decided, as Joshua did, that their house is going to serve the Lord. And I pray that you'll bless all these men in the day and age of compromise and apathy to stay strong, Lord, in spiritual leadership for their wives and children. Help us to be what we ought to be. And I pray, God, that you will bless our church to remain to be what it ought to be. I'm glad, Lord, that the church family can be a blessing to Brother Troy and his wife and their newborn. And I pray that, Lord, you'll help us always to maintain that spirit of brotherly compassion and help. I pray, Lord, for the different people that we've mentioned this morning, especially Brother Harrison, that you'll touch his body, grant him healing, encourage his heart, Lord. I pray for this little girl, Lisa Craig. Please touch her body and be with her. I pray for Jack McDonald. Lord, watch over Brother Jack. Keep him free from any kind of serious illness with the Lyme disease. Lord, thank you for answering prayer about Tom's job and Steve's work and for protecting Dave. And Lord, just all the good testimonies we heard already for the safe return of Tim and his family and the good wedding ceremony out for Danny and Missy. Lord, just a lot of reasons to praise you. We come now to a time of teaching. Pray that our hearts would be submitted to your word, that the Spirit of God would have control over our thoughts and our thinking for the next several minutes. Or may we not be consumed by what's happening at work or in the neighborhood or what's going to happen a couple of weeks from now. Pray, God, that we'll give our undivided attention to you and your Spirit and your will these next several minutes. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans 13, gentlemen, Romans 13. Romans 13 there, and we're going to pick up where we left off last week, maintaining our integrity, being the real deal in the area of sexual morality. I'm not going to go back over the first 3 points, first 3 steps that we went over the last 2 or 3 weeks. Again, I'm not sure if I'll be teaching here next Sunday or if we'll have a special guest. I know the following Sunday, Brother Dave Solt will definitely be here. I have several points I don't think I'll get done today, so we'll have an opportunity to finish up either next week or later on this summer. We ended up last week talking about that balancing your emotional energy between work and children and wife and making sure that your wife doesn't get the leftovers, okay, of your emotional energy. And I was talking with my wife about that this week, and I feel like that's a real, real danger. For all men, you men work long hours. We've said that before. The 40-hour work week is basically, it's over and done with, okay? There's a lot of time put in on work. And then most of you still have children at home under roof. Be careful that your wife doesn't get the leftovers of your emotional energy, okay? Spend some of that emotional energy on her and with her. We talked about number 4, do not flirt with danger. Okay, can a man take fire in his bosom and not be burned? Okay, can you walk upon hot coals and not be burned? No, you can't do that, all right? So don't flirt with danger. I ended up last week talking about the gates, the 2 gates that I think are the most dangerous to a man's mind are the touch and the eyes, what you see, okay? We talked about that last week. Ended up giving the illustration in a hurry last week about the pastor that I was talking to now 2 weeks ago, about 10, 11 days ago, and was on an activity what do you call those things? Six Flags Amusement Park, okay, this summer with teenage boys, and he said it was just awful. Funny thing was, my own son came to me this week because he was at the youth conference in Elgin where they went to the Six Flags, and he said, Dad, he said, I don't know. He said, I don't know if we should ever go back. He said, it's terrible. It's just terrible. And this pastor was talking about this drop-dead, gorgeous, blonde girl. I mean, tanned body, you know, from tanning booths. And admit it, fellas, there's some mighty pretty women walking around out there. If you say there's not, you're a liar. Or you've got something wrong with you. I don't want to be around you. There's a lot of gorgeous women in this world. And I mean, they don't wear much clothing. And all, they had these little short shorts on and tattooed or written, you know, embroidered on the cheeks of that Virgin Islands. And that pastor told me, he said, Brother Terry, it took me days to get that out of my mind. He's honest. He's honest. It takes days. I mean, that thing just is like a stinking video player. Now, if you're honest, you'd say, you know, you don't have to say amen, but I know it's true because I'm with you. I'm like you. I mean, it's like a video player. Just replays and replays and replays and rewinds and replays. So you got to be careful. Don't flirt with danger. Don't flirt with danger. Watch what you watch. Watch what comes in the eye gate. Okay, you got to do that. Number five, make no provision for the flesh. Now, in Romans 13, look at verse 14. The Bible says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, this is similar to the last point, but a little bit different. Okay? The obvious measures to avoid flirting with danger are don't touch and watch the intake at the eye gate. We talked about that last week. Don't touch and watch the intake at the eye gate. Those are the two most dangerous and well-known ways to light the fuse that leads to sexual immorality and a loss of your integrity. Okay? Those are the two major ones. But there are many other little foxes that can spoil the vine of sexual purity if we're not careful. Remember first Song of Solomon chapter 2. There's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Okay? We must understand the nature of our flesh, gentlemen. The nature of our flesh is not good. The nature of our flesh is wicked. That has not changed since we got saved. We have the same rotten flesh we've always had. Positionally, in the mind and sight of God, the old man is dead. Right? We're buried with Christ and raised with Him to walk in newness of life. Positionally. The old man is dead. Practically, the old man's still breathing. Okay? So it's a big battle. If we allow ourselves to be lulled to sleep when it comes to the nature of our flesh, we are headed for trouble. So I've got to keep that in mind. The wise man makes no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Now, look what the verse does not say. The verse does not say, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the needs thereof. Let me say that. It says, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The needs and necessities of the flesh should and can be fulfilled in a manner that is pleasing unto God. We are created with certain fleshly appetites. Food, water, drink, sleep, passion, intimacy. These are natural, normal appetites of the flesh. Okay? Now, to fulfill the needs thereof in a manner that's pleasing unto God is right. And nothing wrong with it. Okay? It's when we allow those appetites to go unrestrained. You know, I've never been one to tell a man or tell anybody how many hours of sleep they need. I think that differs from person to person. I've seen that in my own kids. My own six kids. I've got kids that don't need much sleep. And then I've got a kid or two that needs a little bit more sleep. Okay, but every guy's got to decide on his own. But when it comes from need for sleep to lust for sleep, now you got a problem. Now you got a problem. When it comes to enjoying just laying around in bed, rolling over, 10, 11, 12 o'clock in the morning, unless your work schedule dictates that that's when you sleep. Some people does that, okay? So it's unrestraining those appetites when they're not harnessed, okay? That goes from need to lust. When a man allows his appetite for intimacy to wander outside the bonds of his marriage, he's chasing lusts, not needs. Okay, the place to fulfill the need is inside the bond of that marriage relationship. You don't go outside that bond to fulfill a need. It's a lust. Okay, now the way to avoid fulfilling the lust of the flesh is to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, what Paul said. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our righteousness in the eyes of God. Positionally in Christ, God looks at us as perfect righteousness. We need to employ that righteousness practically. God sees us in that robe, so wear it. Wear it. Okay? That's how God looks at me. I need to put that on. That's how God looks at you. You need to put that on. You know, don't just have God look at us that way and then go out and live after the desires of the flesh, after the lust of the flesh. Don't do that. You put on the righteousness that you got when you got saved, that robe of righteousness. When you feel the flesh beginning to go outside that which is a normal necessity, you call upon the power of God to help you employ the principles of righteousness found in Jesus Christ. That's what happens when your eyes see the billboard and you're tempted at that second look. Maybe you take that second look. And now you got a battle going. How are you going to defeat that? You've got to call on God. You've got to beg and ask the Lord, please God, help me control my thoughts. Help me to get those thoughts out of my mind. Practically wear the robe of righteousness. God, this thought is not pleasing to you, and I want to practically employ the righteousness that I wear. I am enrobed in the righteousness of Christ. Put it on. Wear it, okay? You're a child of God. You're washed in His blood. You're a partaker of the divine nature. And you have at your disposal all the power of heaven to help us. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not what He would think about, so let's get rid of it. That's not what He would look at, so forget it. That's not what He would allow, so we're done with this. Okay? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I think there are several small practical steps you can take to make sure that you do not provide an opportunity for the flesh to run away on you. Let me give you a few of these. They're just simple practical things. Keep a picture of your wife and kids where you work. Especially your wife. If your wife is in a truck, get her out of that truck, amen. If your work is in a truck and we got some truck drivers, put a picture of your wife in the truck. You know, if you got a desk, put a picture of your wife on the desk. Okay? Put a picture of your wife where you work. Make a couple of brief phone calls throughout the day to your wife. Okay? Now, I think a wife ought to let her husband go to work and let him labor. I don't think she ought to be just hounding him all day long. Ring, 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 ring. Let the man go to work, let him go. A man's work is important to him. Okay? But it doesn't hurt a man in a moment or two when he has just a little downtime. Transition between a project or a job or between a responsibility. Boom, man. Got your number, speed dial on that telephone. Push a couple of buttons. Wife picks up the phone. Honey, how you doing? Just thinking about you for a few minutes. Just finished a job here. Got to get on to something else, but I love you. Looking forward to getting home tonight. Doesn't take a whole lot of time or money. Takes a little bit of heart and thought. Okay? Never talk about your wife in a disparaging manner. In front of your coworkers. Never talk about, and especially other female coworkers. You don't talk about your wife in a disparaging manner in front of them. Express your love for your wife to others. You have a date night? Tuesday night? Thursday night? Monday night? Go to work the next day? Talk about it. Say, man, my wife and I had a great time last night. Went down to State Park, went on the walk, you know, went on the bike trail, went over to Dairy Queen. What did you say, Jorge? I thought you were joking. But you know, never express your love for your wife to others. Get it out in the open. Talk about your love for your wife. Never drag conflicts with your wife in the open. You get that at work from other guys? Tell me that your coworkers don't come to work and start talking about, man, me and the old lady had a knockdown drag out last night. I told you, I don't understand her. If somebody's listening. It could be a wicked woman with a wicked heart. So don't talk about conflicts with your wife. Don't open your mouth about those. Talk about your wife's strengths and abilities. Make it clear that you love her and that she is your friend. I already said this. Talk about a fun date or an enjoyable time spent with her. There are ways to make sure that you do not provide for the flesh to do wrong. Don't make it any bit easy for your sinful nature to run wild. Okay? It's called commitment, fellas. It's called commitment. It's a lot more involved than standing on a stinking platform and repeating a few words. It's putting that commitment to action. Amen. I'm tired of working with ladies here in the church whose husbands have abandoned them. These 2x4 punks. I'll tell you what I want to do. You know my flesh? You're talking about make provision for the flesh. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to get them in a car and get William Bibbs and Donahoe and Doyce, some of these big guys, and Nemeth, and just let you guys work them over. I mean, take them to the park somewhere in a dark corner and just beat the devil out of them. Say, get home and take care of your wife and your kids, or you're going to get more of this in a couple of weeks. Called a vigilante, amen, or whatever it is. I honestly, man, I tell you what, I'm not working with one anymore, now I'm working with two. It's ridiculous. Man tells his, it was married right down there on that platform some time ago, told his wife, go home. I'm done. Huh? What in the world? I told her, no, you stay put. It's exactly what he wants you to do. Go home. He forget about you and everything else. You stay right here. It's real easy to stand down there with the soft lights and the music playing and the people here and repeat a few vows. It's real easy. The work comes after that. Don't make it any bit easy for your sinful nature to run wild. I was down in Arlington, Texas a couple weeks ago at that youth conference back in June. When I'm in a motel preaching, I like to keep up my exercise routine, which is about once every 6 weeks. No. a little more often than that anyway. But I do like to do it 2 or 3 times a week, maybe 4. And now they make these motels with these exercise rooms and everything. It make it pretty handy for you, really. But anyway, I missed the morning. Forget what happened. Oh, we had services. Yeah, I missed the morning. And I thought, I'm going to go out tonight after church. And just, I didn't eat much. I'm going to go out and take a run and a walk. Got back to the motel. It was probably 10:45, 11. Place is full. We're right beside Six Flags. Place is full of young girls, teenage girls, college-age girls, church groups. I can't tell you how many Baptist church groups we're staying at that motel. I rode down the elevator with guys going to the pool from Baptist church groups. No shirt on. Girls, no clothes on. Almost. And I thought to myself, when I walked through that crowd of people and the people coming and going and girls giggling and everything, I said, I'm going to go to my motel room, lock the door, and stay there. Say, don't you trust yourself? I don't trust myself, and I don't trust them. I'm not going to, and I don't trust what perception. Even if nothing happened, what's the perception of a man out of his motel room, 1,000 miles away from his wife and family, at 11:30 at night? What's he doing out of his motel room? You understand how quickly that could destroy your reputation? Lock the door and stay in there. Put the do not disturb sign on everything, you know. You say, man, you don't trust your flesh. I don't ever want to trust my flesh. Number 6, if you ever are faced with raw temptation, flee. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust. There are times when men are faced with raw temptation. Joseph is our primary Bible example of restraint in the face of raw temptation. And he left. It's not time to stay and argue. Quote Bible verses. Drop to your knees in prayer. Put on your running shoes, mate. Get out of town. Get out of Dodge. I like what Roloff said. Joseph left his coat but kept his character. Sometimes you got to flee. That doesn't happen often. Sometimes manliness demands that you stay and stare down temptation. Other times, manliness realizes the situation demands that you just get out. Okay. Now, I don't know if this happened to anybody in this room. It has never happened to me. I've never been faced with raw temptation. Okay. Some guys have. You heard me tell the story about Brother Vineyard. Second Sunday as pastor of Windsor Hills. 8:00 in the morning, he's in the office. Sunday morning, secretary comes. Knock on the door. There's no glass. There's no window. He opens the door. She turns around. She's standing there, turns around, says, "Would you zip me up?" She is unzipped from her neckline to her behind. And he's the old flesh got the best of him. He said, "H, no." Yelled it. That's what I say. And then he said, "Get the H out of here." Now, I don't condone using that word. But I condone what he did. And if you got to use that word to get it done, and then he felt bad. Then he went to his church Sunday night and told it with her sitting in the choir. He said, "I was wrong. I cussed. I told her to get the H out of here." He said, "I hollered, H, no." Lonnie Graves. Everybody in here married? You remember Lonnie Graves? The old gypsy preacher, Mike, we had him years and years ago. Gypsy preacher. Durham, North Carolina. 2 days of formal education his whole life. He was a gypsy. Had a church running. He was a free will Baptist. Then he became an independent Baptist. Had a church like 2,000 down in Durham, North Carolina. Vineyard was there preaching for him, and this lady was working Vineyard's book table, and she kept bumping up next to him. He said her perfume was, I could smell her perfume 50 feet away. She kept wanting to rub up against Brother Vineyard. So he told Brother Graves, he said, "Lonnie," he said, "better watch her." You can hear Brother Vineyard, can't you? "Better watch her, bless God." Year later, he came back. That woman's gone. Vineyard asked her, "Where's that woman? It worked my book table." Brother Graves said, "She came in my office. Brother Lonnie, every time you preach, I get so damp and swollen." "Huh?" He said, now Lonnie's an old gypsy. He said, "Get the H out of my office. Don't you ever come the H back here." Hey, you can get pious if you want to, but I'll take that over losing his character. I'll take that. That's what a man has to do to keep his purity. Have at it, boys. I mean, I got stories. I mean, you won't. Keith Gomez, $300 an hour prostitute. He didn't know it. See, people who are raised in a Christian environment, we don't know the world. The world's wicked, folks. The high dollar world is 1,000 times more wicked. $300 an hour prostitute in his church, visiting his church. These executives from these Fortune 500 companies that have offices up in Arlington Heights. All the big dollar stuff up there, $300 an hour. She's sitting in his office, crossed her legs, fishnet stocking. Dress came up about 5 or 6 inches of the fishnet stocking, little mole on her cheek, hair dangling down. "Brother Gomez, my husband doesn't meet my needs." Brother Gomez said he felt things happening to his body. You know what? We can be honest or we can just... I said, "Let's pray. Dear God, I pray that you'll help this woman with her troubles. In Jesus' name, amen. Sit right there. I'm going to get my wife." Get out of the office. What are you going to do? Andy Edwards was down in Louisiana, Mississippi. Preaching a meeting down there, got a phone call from a woman. He thought he was already asleep. 11 o'clock at night, 11:30 at night, phone call, dead sleep. He thought it was his wife. "Yeah, honey, I'm asleep. Oh, call me back in the morning. I'll talk to you in the morning." Okay. Phone rang a second time. It was a woman. She said, "You don't understand, I'm here in the lobby." "It's a woman. I'm down here in the lobby. Are you lonesome?" He hung the phone up. He got so scared, he called the pastor. He said, "Come get me." Started packing his bags. He said, "Come get me right now. Come get me out of this room now." So why didn't he stay there? You don't put yourself in the way of temptation. Read that book by Steve Ferrer, Point Man. where he's on an airplane or one of his friends is on an airplane, and stewardess comes by. She's a little flirtatious during the trip. She comes by as the plane is making its final approach to the destination city, drops a little piece of paper. I'm overnighting at place, phone number. What is that? It's an invitation to call me. He tore it up. Little shreds when they came by with the paper trash. He threw it away. You know what said happened that night in his motel room? He fought that all night long, the thought of that piece of paper. What if he'd had it? Your flesh, fellas, that's our flesh. You can't trust the flesh. The old black preacher down south said, the flesh is the flesh. And that's what it is. This stuff is flesh. Better we know it, be honest about it, face it, and don't put ourselves in the path of temptation. And if need be, flee or cuss them out. Whatever you got to do to keep your purity. Don't you think that it'd be a little easier to get forgiveness for using that word?